I should apologize as we turn to this sheet by saying to you that we were to have a discussion on what to do in the new year, and I thought we'd had it. And my wife would assure you that's not all of my thinking that can be off. The other group that I do every week had that discussion. And so I thought we'd all had that discussion. And if that's the only mistake I make this year, I thank the Lord in advance. The other group had a strong speaker in it. Certain personalities can really influence directions. And they said, we'd really like to know, they started with heaven, discussing heaven, and the place where we're going to spend eternity is so little discussed. After that, and it wouldn't be a surprise to you because you've heard every thought I ever had, I made the comment that nowhere in the Bible does the return of Jesus Christ, which the word is a parousia, the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Bible does the return of Jesus Christ bring the end of the world. Now, I like making those kind of statements because it's an attention getter. The oldest hymn that still exists that we sing once in a great while, but if you were in a liturgical church, like a High Methodist church or a Presbyterian or Lutheran church, you might sing it every Sunday yet. But one of the oldest church songs that Christians still sing, dating back to maybe 200 years within the life of Jesus, is a song that goes like this. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. It's written in King James English, so to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, it now and ever shall be. And the last line is, world without end. Hal Lindsey had never sung that song when he wrote the late great Planet Earth. A lot of modern philosophy and teachings on the end of time are there. And heaven is not the destiny of a Christian. And a lot of evangelicals have the idea that the word, are you saved? Saved means, are you going to heaven? But the truth is, whatever it is between here and the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's coming again. And all the dead in Christ are coming with him, according to the scripture. And we believe in the resurrection of the dead, which means in some way, somehow, someplace, sometime, you are going to be a body and spirit again. And that doesn't matter if you've been dead 2,000 years that is coming or 20 days. Or according to St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, if you're alive at the moment of his coming, you cannot go into his presence, but when you are caught up to meet him, you will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And your mortality is going to put on immortality in some way. Okay? So the eternal life of the believer is that we are to be made conformable to the resurrected life of Christ himself. David.
I just want to know, how scripture that says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and then we shall be that way forevermore.
David is asked, how would I interpret that the dead in Christ shall be raised first, then we are caught up, who remain will be caught up to meet him in the air, and then we will remain there with him. And I would say, David, that's not what I think the scripture says. I think it says, thus we shall ever be with the Lord. The remain word is not there. It may be in your heart. It may be in the reader's heart. It might have been in the writer's heart, but it's not there. The word is that we will be undivided or with the Lord forevermore. But the question is, where will we be? Yes, Dave.
It's like remodeling a house in my mind. You got to move out. Let the house be remodeled. So he's going to move us all out so the earth can be remodeled.
Yeah, you could stay in there, but you'll wish you hadn't. You're right. Yeah. Let me say this, that as we work through this paper today, and I've got so much on here, and frankly, the yellow in the middle of the pages, I need guys like Dale and Roy to be in the room. So Roy having whatever he has right now is of the devil. But I really think that as we work through this, and this may take more than 1 week, this will all slowly unfold. The other thing is, I know you've heard me say this, but we almost have to begin at the beginning to get to where I hope we'll go. This paper will lead us into, and Dr. Toby, before we broke, and if you don't remember it, that's fine, that you're even in the room is a miracle. That he said about, we have never finished the Gospel of John. And we didn't when we were going through John. We ended in the upper room. And this is being designed to get us back to the upper room of John. And there in those five chapters of the night of his betrayal, and pick it up and finish the book. Now, it'll all work together as we unfold, but I'd like to just share that with you, what's going on here. And let's look at the paper for a minute and see what it says. When we begin our new year, we begin our new year with a new subject. Now, the subject is because I'm not specifically following a particular book right now. I'm looking at this theme, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. Our destiny. Where are we going? The future of a or the believer in Christ. This subject is eschatological. Okay, so that we're all together. Some of you already know what that means, but let's make sure. Eschatology means this, the study of the end of the world or the end of time or whatever that is, okay? It's a study. Eschaton is the final goal. And eschatology is words or study or logic of our final destiny. It is about but it is not actually such. In other words, we're going to talk about what we are finally going to be, but it really isn't true that it's final. Now, let's talk about that double talk, what I just said. Look what next is written. The resurrection of Jesus makes this event an already existent happening. In other words, are you, Tom, going to resurrect from the dead? And the answer is yes. But there is a human who's already done it. Jesus Christ, in his appearing to the disciples, was already timeless. The destiny of earth has already been on the earth. Does this make sense, what I'm saying?
Yep.
In the presence of the resurrected Jesus, eternity already exists. When Christ came forth from the grave, he was already timeless. And I'm using the word timeless there because I want to rethink this word, eternal. Eternal is an Anglo-Saxon word that may be a poor translation of the ancient word and what the ancients had in mind when they said it. Okay? So we talk about eternal life, and really, most of the time, don't know what we're talking about. We just hope we fly and don't fry. Okay? Okay? And so the resurrection of Jesus means that eternity already exists. You say, well, of course it does with God. No, I want to say it exists in a human being, because whatever God is, in our hearts or in reality, whatever God is, whatever comes to your mind when you say the word God, in the ascension of Jesus, some form of humanity, a human, was assumed into godness. Jesus was not only born of Mary and became man, the Word became flesh. But in the ascension, the flesh of Jesus Christ became a permanent feature of the God of eternity.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying? So the resurrection of Jesus means that God has forever linked himself or identified himself with humans, with humanity, with man, if I can be unwoke, with man. Jesus of Nazareth, the human man, is the eternal Lord of the universe. The resurrected Christ. Now, who rose from the dead? The crucified Christ. I believe, you believe, I think there's going to be scripture we're going to see that whatever shortcoming you have, and to know your shortcomings completely, I'd have to talk to your spouse. No, whatever shortcomings you and I have, we believe they're going to be healed in the resurrection. Okay? Wasn't true of Jesus. Wasn't there indication in Scripture that he still bore the wounds? The eternal scars of his torment?
Wouldn't that just be for him, though? Because those are... He says those are his tattoos of us. What he did for us is showing. So, does that not necessarily mean he may be the only person there with scars?
I think we can speculate of that. I don't think we have a scripture for it. He alone will be wounded for all eternity? Doesn't say that, does it? But we do believe in our healing. And there will be eternal, okay? And we're going to discuss what is the nature of life. And what is death? The American public is pretty hypnotized, or was for a while, and has had quite a week because of a football game last Monday night in which a 24-year-old young man tackled another man and then stood up and his heart stopped. I heard one, you know, television is so wonderful. I had to shut Fox off last night because they were playing with my brain and I got tired of what they were doing. Everybody they brought in, they were massaging so you would think a certain way. No, they don't do that. Yeah. But that, so do preachers, I know. Listen, One newsman said, well, he had cardiac arrest. Thank God he didn't have a heart attack. He did say that. It just said, stay to sports, boy. Okay. Well, when the young man has awakened, and this is just a wonderful story, just a great story, you know. He can't talk because he has a tube down his throat. So his mind is working so well, they let him write a note, and his first thing was, who won the game? But see, from the moment he dropped on the grass to the moment he came to in intensive care, he has no memory. He did not know what had happened to him.
Right.
Now, I know when I die, Paul has written, absent from the body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. In a moment. What is a moment? So, with this young man, it was 3 days. So, if I'm dead 3,000 years, if I die in this world and wake up in his presence in the second parousia, am I not absent from the body and present with the Lord? See? So, time and the whole concept you and I have of time is something of this world and this universe. And when we're talking about what we're talking about under the word eternal, we have to take time out of the equation. And we as humans can't hardly do that. Does that make sense?
Is that why Jesus could instantaneously be someplace? I mean, here he is on the road to Emmaus with two men, instantly, and they go down, and then he vanishes from sight. And then he comes through the walls, or however he did, and into the place where the upper room and where the disciples were, and then he disappears from there.
David, what you have just done is perfect thinking.
He took a boatload. He was in the middle of the sea, and it calmed, and then he was instantly with his boatload
at the shore. That's John chapter 6.
Yes,
that's how we think about it. But you do believe, don't you, that Jesus is omnipresent? You think he's here right now. I do. Believe that. I believe I've got scripture for it. Okay. So all he would do for me to be aware of his presence, though as believers I know you're aware of his presence, but all he'd have to do is materialize. He's here already. So all he has to do is help my eyes to see him, right? So being here and being there is no big deal, except to me. You're right. So when he says in John chapter 1 to a man named Nathaniel, well, before Philip came to you under the fig tree, I saw you. That's a miracle to Nathaniel. It's everyday life to Jesus. But he was over here with Andrew, Peter, James, John, and Philip was over getting Nathaniel. And Jesus knew what was going on. He didn't say, well, I know what Philip said to you. He's saying, I saw you. Now that's life before the resurrection. So let's go back to this sheet of paper. The life Christ, you see that? That's line 3 and halfway in. The life Christ came to give to those that are his is the message of the apostles. Through him, All things came into being. Not one thing exists or came into being except through Him. Do you believe that? He's the source of everything that exists. I have never seen a Monty Python movie.
You hadn't missed anything.
Okay. I understand I probably shouldn't have seen it. But on YouTube, I caught a Monty Python song. And I love it. So I don't know that I would love Monty Python. I think I've heard he's pretty off color. But listen to the words of this song. And for God's glory in your heart, I won't sing it. Just remember you are standing on a planet that's evolving. That's revolving at 900 miles per hour. No wonder your stomach's a little upset. It's orbiting at 19 miles per second, so it's reckoned. The sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at 1,000,000 miles a day. In the outer spiral arm, 40,000 miles an hour in a galaxy we call the Milky Way. Can you get the whole Milky Way is spinning at 40,000 miles per hour. Here's the next paragraph. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years from side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but it tapers out to us to just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point, the center of our own galaxy. We go round every 200 million years. I'm not going to make it around. Okay? And our galaxy is only one of millions or billions. It's amazing in this amazing expanding universe. Can you believe? No. Staggers the human mind, doesn't it? How do we get a hold of that? Now listen to this. The universe itself keeps on expanding and expanding in all the directions that it can whiz. As fast as it can go at the speed of light, 12 million miles a minute, it's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely was your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, because everything is boogered up down here on Earth. It's called the United States House of Representatives. Okay.
Oh, my.
Now, here we are.
So how did it shoot? Is that just a song, or is that some calculation somebody made?
The numbers are correct.
How do they measure that?
Yeah.
That takes a lot of education. Yeah, it really is. You have to calculate at the speed of light. How can they know with the new Webb telescope that we now have 100 times more powerful than the Hubble telescope? That we placed beyond the orbit of the Hubble so we could get without all the stuff of Earth. And the Webb is now able to see, and because it deals in microwaves instead of the straight light, it is able to pierce galaxies we could not see before, that were just a nebulous cloud. And what we looked like clouds of gas have become masses of stars. And they can calculate the speed of light and know that they are seeing light that began 13 billion years ago before it could get here. That's traveling at this speed.
And yet we see the object that sent the light.
Yes. We're seeing it, and it is very possible that a lot of what we're seeing no longer exists because it's so long ago that it began. Isn't that amazing? Now, you and I, for instance, we can read in the book of Acts, chapter 1, that while the disciples are walking up the Mount of Olives with Jesus, suddenly Jesus is going up. Okay? And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's not that, that's the Gospels, but Peter, Andrew, James, those guys, all of a sudden realize they're getting a crook in the neck, and Christ is going to the clouds. So when Luke writes the book of Acts, he says he was taken up. Of course he was. But what is up from a ball? See, we now know the earth is round. So what's up? You understand? The words of our Bible are all metaphors. Every word I speak to you is my attempt to communicate with you, and I have to use a word that produces the thinking in you. So I use a word the way we, you and I together, we have agreed that this is what the word means, or we can't think together. See what I mean? The Bible is written in the language of humans, but describing the things of God. It's a phenomenal mystery. And you and I get the privilege of entering into that word and letting it open up in us so we can comprehend life as God intended it. We believe that this little blue marble called Earth, that's why I read that song. I think that song does more to say to us, you know how little we are? Okay, Putin 24 hours ago declared ceasefire. It's easier than saying I'm whooped. Okay? But he declared a ceasefire. Well, let's just take a rest here. Oh, you better, you guys are getting killed all around you. Okay. But Zing is deciding that maybe he will not invade Formosa, Taiwan, because things aren't 100%, and he's got his hands full with COVID. And Biden is going to go to the southern border. He just found out it's down there. you know, we got, and Trump is trying to tell him who to elect, and nobody's listening. Now, let me just tell you, you and I are fighting like, and we get ulcers over this stuff, like this is really important on a little ball at the edge of the galaxy of the Milky Way among 100 million galaxies. And over all this, there is a God who is the source of all life who says, does this impress you? Do you hear what I'm saying? And he said, I'm come that you might have life. And you want to go to streets of gold? By the way, the pearly gate where Peter's waiting to ask you questions. Pearly gates and streets of gold appear only one place in Scripture, and it's the book of Revelation, and it's describing the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. It never once is applied to heaven. Never, ever, ever once. It's the description of the city four square that's coming. Amen. And it's described in elements of the earth, of this planet you and I live on, because it's the only thing you and I can understand. We can't understand what's not part of our world. But it has been part of so many gospel songs and Christian hymns when we all get to heaven and walk those streets of gold. And so if a guy on Friday morning says to you, streets of gold don't exist in heaven, he's a heretic. But Bible has been abused and misused so much that we already have in our heart things that don't exist. All right? What has come into being in him is life. Now notice this, and that life is the light of mankind, of men. Who told these ancient people that the basis of all life is light? Who told an ancient Semite at least 2,000 years before Jesus, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be. Yet today, you might have to have a major surgery this year, and instead of cutting you open, they'll say, we'll do it with optical laser because light can do everything. And you now exist. They just caught this murderer in Idaho because he could pick up all the pings of where his phone was, because with all the gadgets we've created, we're actually tracking ourselves, because light is the source of all your internet workings. We are transforming everything. Successfully, this past year, they completed a nuclear fission test whereby the energy that is in the sun, of perpetual energy, is now capable on Earth. And probably 50 years from now, it would be possible to have not a nuclear power that runs the electricity, but a perpetual energy nuclear fission form that will be totally without any exchange with the atmosphere. Now, you think that's unconceivable? Dick Tracy in World War II had a watch he could talk to, and now Apple has it for you. Yeah. And that Apple Watch can tell you how much your heart's beating, what the weather's going to be, where you're at. Your wife, if she has the right gadget, can track everywhere you go with that watch. Now, that's all I'm trying to do, my brothers, is say, while you're sitting here trying to conceive what God has created for you, we're just now stumbling into what he had already made here before he created the heavens and the earth. The very initial stuff, it's all around us right now. Eternity is possible now. In fact, it already exists. So when the Lord of the universe sits on a hillside with us and says to us, why do you fret about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat? You know what he's saying to you? Balancing your budget is entirely a system you have created on the face of the earth. It is not real life. How much energy do you put in a week to keep that company going for the family's sake and for the future? See? But he says, that's your system. Eternity is beyond that. Are you okay?
Regardless of how you classify wealth as when you don't have to work to live.
I have a neighborhood cat who's trying to help me get rid of chipmunks. Because my corner in the subdivision seems to collect all the chipmunks. I have everything they like. I have a cat who's going to help me get rid of them because I can't get rid of them. My wife said to me yesterday, the black and white cat's back. Which is, we have with that, thank the Lord, praise Jesus, hallelujah. We love that cat. And he happens to like chipmunks. Well, those chipmunks have made burrows, and I've stumbled into a couple of them where they've got quite a little storehouse. We didn't invent the pantry. We have animals that have pantries. And I can't get rid of him because my yard's where his pantry is. That's what wealth is. The guy is wealthiest who collected the most nuts. Collection of big nuts we usually call First Church. No, it's called wealth. That's human wealth, is human understanding. It's hoarding. Okay, through him all things came into being. Okay, we've done that one. Now look at 1 John 1:1, and I know I'm out of time. See, I told you this is going to take a while to get through this. We declare to you that what was from the beginning, what we heard, what we've seen with our eyes. Now, from the beginning is huge. John is saying when we saw Jesus, we saw the source of everything. That's what he's saying. What we looked at, what we touched with our hands concerning the word of life, life was revealed, and we've seen it, and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. The eternal life. This issue of life is the reason behind all of God's dealings. As we close this morning, could I have a volunteer who says, I'll read those verses from Deuteronomy 30? Anybody? Thank you. 30, verses 11 through 20. Thank you, Tom. I'm coming back to you. It's what is there in John 10:10. I am come that you might have life and have it. And the English word is abundantly, but have it in its excesses, life. Or John 20:30-31, which is everything Jesus did is not written in this book. If I did, it'd fill volumes. But these things are written that you might believe that he's the Christ, and in believing, you might have life in his name. The goal of everything we're doing on Friday morning, but everything that Jesus Christ exists for, everything that's real, even church governance and maintenance, the local church, can be, like we're saying, the system of wealth of this world, just stuff we've made. But the real kingdom is life. That's what it's all about. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20, listen to the words of Moses. God is speaking, by the way. He's quoting directly from Yahweh the Lord.
The commandment I lay on you this day is not too difficult for you. It is not too remote. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and fetch it and tell it to us that we can keep it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to fetch it and tell it to us so that we can keep it? Is a thing very near to you, upon your lips and in your heart, ready to be kept. Today I offer you the choice of life and good, or death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I give you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by conforming to his ways, and by keeping his commandments, statutes, and laws, then you will live and increase in the land which you are entering to occupy. But if your heart turns away and you do not listen, and you are led on to bow down to other gods and worship them, I tell you this day that you will perish, and you will not live long in the land which you will enter to occupy after crossing the Jordan. I summon heaven and earth to witness against you this day. I offer you the choice of life or death, blessing or curse. Choose life, and then you and your descendants will live. Love the Lord your God, obey him, hold fast to him. That is life for you and length of days in the land which the Lord swore to give your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
I wrote in my Facebook page for the new year, this is 2023, maybe the year the Lord will return, come Lord Jesus. And many, many Christians made comments about it. Lots of amen and praise the Lord, and that's the truth, and yes, come Jesus. One of the dearest people I know on the West Coast in Portland, where I pastored, I mean, this is a sweetheart, this person, wrote, "I don't want him to come this year because my kids aren't yet right with God." That's a real burden for a mother. I wrote back, "Whatever Jesus does will be perfect. It's all right." But you see, her children's salvation has superseded the joy of the Lord's return. Her fear of her kids missing it makes her not anticipate it with a clear heart. When we study Scripture, whatever we begin with, okay, I want to study eternal life, we are already twisting Scripture. We're using it for a goal that we want to get. Okay, I want to study. Just put it in there. Most evangelicals begin with the subject of sin and repentance and how to get saved and all that stuff. And they study the Scripture on that basis. Or for instance, my group might say on holiness, how to be holy and everything. The Scriptures are about Jesus Christ. Every other subject twists Scripture. And you can have a phenomenal Bible study and be dead wrong. Ask the Sadducees. Study the Pharisees. Look at the Essenes. They were all at the pitch peak of their existence at the moment the Lord was walking the earth. And they couldn't receive him because he didn't line up with their doctrine. And we can make the same mistake. See, the God of Israel is saying to them, it's not about the law. The reason I've given you the law, this is about life. Choose life. What I've set before you is life. And Jesus said, I have come so that you can build a church organization and win the world. I have come that you might have life. Live. The source of, how fast were we moving? So many million miles an hour. The source of the universe is the living God. And he is offering to us life. And it comes nowhere but in him. Thanks. God bless you. We've begun a new year. This paper